Think about this. Are you happy in your current relationship with Jesus? Are you satisfied with your relationship with Jesus? Does it make you happy? Or do you feel that you're just kind of floundering around? You love Jesus, but you just kind of, you don't know what. Well, you know, in baseball, when a team is floundering, a common phrase that we hear is, "Fellas, we need to get back to the basics." Sometimes we forget what they are. And then we go off and we play baseball, but nothing happens because we forgot the little things that mean so much and matter. We just kind of, the devil just kind of covers over us with a little bit of darkness to confuse us or cause us to forget. The more I live for Jesus and the longer I live, I realize you can condense the basics by and large in two words, or I guess it would be three: trust and obey. That sums it all up. Trust and obey. Now, I have a book here called Amazing Grace, 366 Inspiring Hymn Stories for Daily Devotions, and it's by Kenneth W. Osbeck. I use this from time to time when I go to the nursing home and just take a song and just tell them what it's about. How did it happen? What brought it about? All these hymns that we've sung over the years, there's a reason for them. What is it? So, as we go to this song, Trust and Obey, here's the story behind it. First of all, here's a little commentary here. Life can often be restless, disrupted existence until we give ourselves wholeheartedly to something beyond ourselves and follow and obey it supremely. Such implicit trust in God's great love and wisdom, with a sincere desire to follow His leading, should be every Christian's goal. Our willingness to trust and obey is always, listen, it's always the first step toward God's blessing in our lives. And here's the beginning of the song. In 1886, Daniel B. Towner, director of the music department at Moody Bible Institute, which was a great evangelistic tool in years past, was leading the Music for Evangelists D.L. Moody series of meetings in Brockton, Massachusetts. A young man rose to give a testimony saying, "But I'm not quite sure, but I am going to trust and I am going to obey." Now, Mr. Towner jotted down this statement, "I am not quite sure, but I'm going to trust and I am going to obey," and sent it to the Reverend John H. Sammis, a Presbyterian minister and later a teacher at Moody, who wrote these five stanzas to this song. Salvation is God's responsibility. These are not the stanzas, but this is a little commentary here. Salvation is God's responsibility. Our responsibility is to trust in that salvation and then to obey its truths. Trust and obey presents a balanced view of a believer's trust in Christ's redemptive work, and it speaks of the resulting desire to obey Him and do His will in our daily lives. Then and only then do we experience real peace and joy? So that's the whole song. What it's about and its purpose. Now, here are the verses of that song. And in these verses, they give us the blessings of trusting and obeying. And sometimes we forget that. And that's why we don't pay enough attention to it. And the first verse says, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word. When you're walking with the Lord according to the Word of God, not according to what somebody else said, not according to your own thoughts, but according to the light of the Word, which shines in your hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. What a glory He sheds on our way. We look at things in life through different eyes when we walk with the Lord in the eyes of His Word. While we do His good will, when you walk in the light of God's Word, you'll want to do His will. He abides with us still. That means He lingers there. He stays with us when we're walking in the light as He is in the light. And listen to this. And not only the writer, and with all who will trust and obey. You have a greater desire and a stronger desire to trust in God and obey Him when you're walking in the light of His Word. It's less when you neglect it. Or He can speak to you by the Rhema word, which means the spoken word of the Spirit to your heart. Do you follow it? Maybe that's one reason you're floundering, if you are. Maybe you've not been following it. I hope today God will put such a desire in your heart that your life will be changed, that your attitude will be changed, that your motives will be changed, and your joy will be full. Verse 2, not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the sky. Oh, you can have these times when things seem to be just not what they ought to be. But His smile quickly drives it away. A word from the Spirit of God, a word of encouragement from a brother or sister will quickly drive away things that might be like a cloud between you and God. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear. Oh, they may come, but they won't stay. Because the light of the Holy Spirit will penetrate that darkness, and the breath of God will blow it away. Verse 3, not a burden we bear. Why? Because Christ is the burden bearer. The world don't know, they don't have anybody to bear their burdens. They don't have anybody to carry their sorrows. They're without hope, lost from God. Not a burden that we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. You'll never be sorry for serving God. And sometimes those burdens and the sorrows and the effort we put in, it seems like, who cares? For the favor, the grace, grace is God's favor. Because these things will not get you down and keep you down, the just man riseth 7 times. He may fall down, but he'll get back up again. None of these things will get us down or hold us down. But we are blessed, and he will deliver us from it and through it and in it if we trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord, and now I'm going to say this one again. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. And verse number 5. Then in fellowship sweet. Fellowship is communion. It's joint communication between two people. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet. You remember back, I think it was in Luke, where Jesus went to the house of Martha and Mary. And he came there and sat down, as was his custom when he was there in that area. And Martha was going to prepare a meal. And she felt that that would be a blessing to the Lord, and so it would be a good thing to do. So she did it. But you know something? She got pretty upset. Because Mary, where was Mary at anyhow? You know what? Sometimes our motives are bared when we get under the pressure. Mary was doing what she felt was good, but she didn't want it. She didn't want Martha was doing what she thought she should, but she didn't want Mary off in the other room. It wasn't that Mary was lazy. It was because Mary, wow, found such wonderful joy in the fellowship of the Master. Sometimes, folks, you oughtn't to be lazy. You oughtn't to be put off the thing. You oughtn't to put off the things you know you need to do. You got to be careful in the habits that you form. But Mary had a habit. She hung around Jesus a lot. I'll tell you what, folks. Sometimes if you put off those things that seem to be so important and so necessary and hang around Jesus a little while, nothing's going to matter. Let me tell you something. We can be in the hardest trials. Everything can be falling apart. And when the Spirit of God comes upon us, he just vanishes. That thing that worried us so much, we're not even thinking about it. All the problems, suddenly they're gone. All the stress and pressure, suddenly it's gone, and we sense faith rising up. Don't you think from time to time we need to lay things down and make it a night with Jesus? Or a day with Jesus. It's a joy to get those things accomplished that we need accomplished. It's a greater joy to fellowship with Jesus. And by the way, he'll help you to get it straightened out and take care of it. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet. You know what you think? Prayer is such a burden. And when you start to pray, everything happens. The telephone rings. Somebody will knock on the door. And so you get that finished. The telephone rings again. Like it's really important. And so what do? You go to answer it because it's born in you. You got to answer that phone. I remember years ago when I was just a little boy, or maybe 10 or 12, I don't know, somewhere. And my nephew, Junior, Ray, he was sitting over here last week or so. And so he was down there that night, and he slept in the hallway because it was cooler. We didn't have no air conditioners, folks. We had a window fan sitting in the window of a two-story house. And I'm telling you what, only that fan could stir the air. Well, anyhow, my mother, the phone rang. And her bedroom, her and Dad's bedroom was upstairs. And it's a long way from being upstairs to the phone. So that's like an alarm clock. When that phone went off, my mother just, I wasn't in there, but I'm sure she went like that. Clarence, I got to get down and answer that phone. Woo! I'm telling you, here she was. Oh! But right in the middle of the hallway, my nephew was asleep, and she just kept running, and she stepped on his stomach and stepped on his nose, but kept on a run. And so she answered the phone call. When she got finished, she came out and looked at my nephew and said, "What's wrong with you?" Whew. We still laugh about that. Can't you imagine his surprise when a foot ran over him? Where am I at? That must be a bunch of cattle. Am I on a ranch? Woo! Boy, that'll take the starch out of you. Woo! Oh, my. Then in fellowship sweet, we'll sit at his feet. Oh, or we'll walk by his side in the way. We want fellowship with Jesus when we're sitting down in the morning before we go to work. But I'll tell you what, you can go to work, but you want to be with Jesus all day long. You don't have to say anything to the Lord. Just listen for what he has to say. He'll talk to you. Well, how can I do that? I do it all the time. I go to work, and I'm listening, and I and it doesn't stop me from doing my job. I just do what I ever got to do, and I'll be thinking about something. The Lord will speak to me, and sometimes I'll write it down, and sometimes, oh, it's just wonderful. But anyhow, take him with you. I'll tell you what, because he's going to go all day long, and how would you like for somebody to be doing something and put you in a corner and ignore you until they're going to church? He has to go back. I mean, he has to go around with you wherever you go. And so you don't even open the door for him. And so he just sits there, and what's he going to do? I remember when I was pastor in St. Charles on a Wednesday night, I would teach the Bible. And I got off on the subject of whatever you do, you take the Holy Spirit with you. And I think it was purposely that God let it happen. And I kept talking about it. I said, it don't make any difference where you go. Don't make any difference what you do. Jesus sees you. He's right there. And I just kept on it. I didn't keep on it purposely. And all of a sudden, those guys says, be quiet. Why? Because Jesus was convicting them of the ungodly things they were doing. How would you like to know, if you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing, that Jesus is right there watching you? Think about some of the things you've done. You know what? Sometimes we're not aware of that. But wherever you go, if you're a Christian, you're taking Jesus with you. If you drink and get drunk, you go right, well, I'll tell you what, if you drink and get drunk, the Lord's going to bring you to heal pretty quick. But anyhow, wherever you go, if you go someplace you shouldn't be going, I want you to think about this. You got a guest, not a guest. You got Jesus with you. And you know what? What's he going to be doing while you're doing what you should be doing? Or what you are doing, not what you should be doing, but what you're doing. Jesus sees everything you do. He does. He's within you through the Spirit of God. Think about it. If somebody drug you all around and did all the things you don't like, how would you feel? Pretty bad, wouldn't you? You grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do. Where he sends we will go. Oh, we love that fellowship. And we will be obedient if we are walking in Jesus as we should. Those things right there that we've been talking about are for those who trust and obey. Now remember this. Trust and obey. For there is no other way to be happy in your relationship with Jesus, but to trust and obey. If you're not trusting and obeying, you're not happy with Jesus. You're floundering around. That's why I'm telling you today, get back to the basics. The devil's led you astray. Psalms 33, 3 and 4. Trust in the Lord and do good. That's obedience. Dwell in the land. This is how you're supposed to live. And enjoy safe pasture. When you're doing what you should do, the Lord will provide every need that you have and protect you as well. Delight yourself in the Lord. That word delight means to make yourself, your heart, like putty. It's like when you take, like the potter takes up the clay and he feels the clay. Sometimes he feels a little lump in there. So he does it again. He wants to get all those lumps out. And Jesus wants to get it all out of us. Delight yourself in the Lord. Become putty in the hand of God. And he will give you the desires of your heart. You're going about the wrong way when you're thinking that somehow you can get those things you want from God. How can he give them to you if they're right when you're a rebel? He wants to. He loves rebels, but he can't. Because he won't give you something that's bad for you. So you just go on. Hope, and God is just trusting that one day you'll get straightened out. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And then, it's the last thing I'm going to say. You don't believe that, do you? But I really am. A closing comment. Some people just love to close. I really am one of them, I think. You will experience the glory and the abiding presence of Jesus. That means he won't run off. He'll stick right there with you. As you make up your mind to trust him more completely and to obey his leading more fully in everything you do. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer as we're dismissed. Father, I can't hammer it in people's heart. You just can only do so much. But I don't have to hammer it in their heart. These people love you, Lord. They're anxious to serve you. They're anxious to know what is bothering them. They want to get rid of it, Lord. They love you. And so, Lord, those who are eager to serve you and follow you, they have heard what the Spirit would say to them as I preach the word this morning. And they will be glad, Lord, because when you love Jesus and you're following truth, if you're on the wrong path, you want to know. Oh, may they delight in what they heard today, because it is you, O God, that in your great mercy and love, you have come into this church to tell them, to help them, to love them, O God. May we not take offense at what you've said, because, Lord, it's a heart of love that spoke to you, because he knows the possibilities that are in your life. He knows how to straighten everything out. He knows how to keep you from floundering and being confused and miserable. He don't want you to be miserable. Oh God, help us to take this to heart, and may it change us and transform us.